Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Booth Bad Prime.
Booth Bad Prime. There he is.
Very excited to be here. Excited to be here.
Hey. Happy motherfucking birthday, buddy.
Oh, thank you, Pete.
Yeah, it's your actual birthday today.
Congrats. Anything you want to say about that? We sort of covered it last week.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But there was sort of a to-be-continued aspect to it.
Yeah. I wasn't here. So.
Oh, you weren't here, yes.
Yeah, so oh,
that's great.
Say,
so what do you got for me, Pete?
I just wanted to say
everybody in the audience brought something for me last week.
It must be nice.
So what do you have for me?
I can tell that you're like rocking all the new stuff that you got. That,
wow.
Yeah,
shot
must have really meant
bow.
Something to you.
Excuse me.
Whoa! Whoa! What is happening? Hey!
Nice.
Got that last week. Also,
hey, it's an audio podcast. So, whoa. Stop it. Oh, my God. He just took off his belt. What is happening? For those listening at home,
start throwing down bells, everybody. Come on.
This is a nightmare.
For those of you at home, Alex was, I guess, moving his waist in a tight circle. He revealed his T-shirt.
Say we have a knife that can just poke my eyeballs out of my head?
I got a little something that can poke the eyeballs out of your head.
My God, that was the way you took off your belt and threw it to the ground is
a practice motion.
Your dance is appropriate for your age.
I'll just leave this delicately on our guest's chair over here.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm not going to do that.
The most sexual move is removing the belts.
Yes.
All right. So
well, you're not going to put that back on? You're going to hide it? You're going to hide your shame?
It's just all the business of putting it back on.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
We play, for those of you who are new to the show, it seems like we have some new people in the audience. We do a strip show. So every time somebody makes a mistake, you have to take off a piece of clothing.
When you say mistake, what do you mean?
You're going to find out.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Why am I asking?
Yeah.
Put your belt back on, for Christ's sake.
You're uncomfortable
that
he's not wearing a belt?
My pants are fine.
Yeah. I didn't get the reference of the shirt.
You brought this on yourself.
Yeah, that's true. What was that shirt a reference to? Labyrinth?
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
Cool.
This is the next section of our show, which is bringing Pete up to speed.
Yeah. We're there. Very close. I wore a Cyclops t-shirt last week.
Oh, I'm glad I missed
that. Because you weren't here. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Uh-oh, hey. I feel like this is a mistake. Pete's facing the wrong way. But
why is this a bit? Stop taking your belts off.
Back to the belt place.
Oh my God.
Well, two belts off, one belt on.
What the fuck is happening?
Pete has never been more.
Third belt end up behind the belt chair.
Yeah.
Wait and see, audience.
I'm not taking my belt off. Stop pointing at me in my belt area.
But I'm doing my hands like this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What the fuck? Get away from me.
Oh, man. I've never seen you so unsettled.
Here's the thing I'd say is that not to, give our belts and pads too much credit. Our pads have stayed up pretty well.
I feel great.
I guarantee you the second Pete takes off his belt, his pants are going to go.
Hey, audience member just took off his belt.
Yes. Audience
off what the fuck?
All right. That's
We've
thank
opened
you.
The door. I will say it's weird that the belts are going to a very specific place on the stage as well.
What is happening? Zalvin, your birthday is exactly like you.
This is, for those of you on my
weirdly
Patreon Slack.
Perverted.
For those of you on my Patreon Slack, this was my third wish.
Yeah. And we did
there
it.
There you go.
Yeah.
And this was definitely one of those monkey paw wishes.
It's definitely going to come back to haunt us. What's not going to come back to haunt us, because he's here for the first time as our amazing guest. He is an artist. He is a creator of a couple of amazing comic books, including the upcoming Mariner and Fever Dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, Jonathan Marks Paravecchia!
Welcome to the show, sir! Hey, welcome. Have a seat. Have a microphone.
It's great
to have you.
Please come sit down, have a beer, hang out.
Thank you, guys. Hang out. Take off your belt.
No, listen.
You don't have to do that.
Backstage, right. I can only imagine the sexiest striptease. It's very weird.
You can see how hard everybody is sweating.
Thank you for saying it was very weird.
It was sexual and also sensual. You know what I mean?
It seemed gentle. Yeah. It seemed very sweet.
It was. It was.
We're going to be taking them out for dinner later.
Well, I would hope so.
Yes. Yeah. Let's talk about your comic books. So Fever Dreams is already out.
It is. Fever Dreams came out earlier in the year. We did our first printing, and this is now the second printing that's available now. It's an anthology that was written by myself and a friend of mine, and then illustrated by me.
So cool.
Oh, there by me. Oh, that's why you're on the show.
So that's there, yeah. So all the art is me. The story is by a couple, me and another guy.
Drop something.
But we did self-publish that one, and then we're building to work together again for what Alex just mentioned, Mariner, which is a bigger project that we're going to have next year, hopefully out.
Very cool.
Before we get into that, though, I want to talk about your style, which is very unique. It almost seems like...
It's meant to be a compliment. Okay.
It's hard, it really is.
To read him sometimes.
While I was flipping through this book, it's very unique. You seem like you're going to go far. Flipping through this book and looking through some of the upcoming pages of Mariner as well, I couldn't tell whether you were using watercolors, whether you're using pencils, whether you're using a combination. What are you working in?
Yeah, both. Watercolor, ink, oil, charcoal. Fever Dreams and Mariner both, I'm doing, all the pages are much bigger than 11 by 17, which is what comic book illustrators normally do. Mm-hmm. So they're full paintings, a lot of them, oil and ink.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Mixed media stuff.
Do you use the shrink ray to then shrink
it down? Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
That's the way it works.
It's something, I shouldn't really talk about it. Comic book illustrators all have a shrink ray.
It's a great secret. That's a great secret in the society of illustrators.
Well, so obviously you are creating a little bit of a difficulty in terms of translating to the comic book page. Yeah. What made you settle on this technique for comics, or is that just how you work?
It's become just how I work. I worked for Marvel for a little while, and I was doing the Dark Tower stuff, and it was super fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Very cool.
Very unique.
I don't know if anybody liked it. But.
No, it's really great. Yeah.
The art was really amazing. Well,
very cool.
Thanks. Yeah. It was my art fit that story. So when that story ended, the editorial team was very honest with me, and they were like, we're having kind of a hard time getting you on books. And had some suggestions artistically, if you did this different or this different. And again, I cannot stress enough respectfully and generously. And I said, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm not comfortable changing my style.
Right.
I've found on the Dark Tower specifically something that was artistically honest to me.
And it matched so well
with the
story.
And it matched the book, and it matched, the books that I wanted to make. You know, love... The X-Men and Batman and all the comic books. But artistically, the influences are more Sienkiewicz and Dave McKean.
I was going to say, Dave McKean really comes to Jay Lee a little bit, you could even
Jay
say.
Jay Lee, illustrators and painters and fine artists as well as comic book artists.
Given that you're working in a bunch of different media, what do you start with? Is there something where you lay down the charcoals and then move on to the watercolors? Do you have it all laid out in front of you at the same time?
I kind of figure it out as I go.
Okay.
Honestly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like I do, I thumbnail it out just in pencil so I know where things are going to go. And I have an idea for specific pages, what I want to use, ink, oil, watercolor, whatever. But then as I'm building the page, it's a fairly organic process, just like this feels right, this feels wrong. A lot of tears, a lot of mistakes. Like I redo stuff all the time, but yeah, I find if I'm planning it out too much or drawing it even too much, a lot of artists will work from thumbnails and then kind of clean lines and then like a traditional pencils to inks to colors. And I get so stiff when I do that. So I try not to do that and just sort of Let whatever happens happen. Yeah,
and you're completely nude when this is happening.
Completely nude. Nice little jazz in the background.
Yeah,
classy guy.
I think so.
Very nice.
Yeah. Neighbors hate me.
Let's talk about Mariner, which is coming out, because it feels like whatever you're working on in Fever Dreams, you pushed it even harder for Mariner. What was different about the process here?
Well, with Fever Dreams, to be honest, was the first time Michael, who's a good friend of mine, the other writer, were working together, and we were like, I don't know if anyone's going to like this. You know, the stories are a little weird. The art's a little bit different. But there was a really positive response. And so then we decided that Mariner, which is another story we'd been talking about, I was like, let's just go for it and double down, like you said. Yeah. So Mariner's going to be, I think it's ended up being about 90 pages, fully painted. Wow. It's going to be printed as a hard or as an oversized book. French fold cover, which is very nice.
Ooh, the like French fold. Yeah. Oh, very
that's
cool.
For those of you who don't know, that's en croissant.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for the translation.
Yeah. No problem. What is the idea of Mariner? What's the pitch for it, if you can boil it down?
Yeah, no, yeah, it's, I don't know how well everyone remembers, like, high school English class, the Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Take me back.
So the Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner is an old Samuel Taylor Coleridge poem. And the very, very short version is an old man goes to a wedding, stops a young man, says, hey, man, you need to hear this crazy story from when I was young. Tells him a story about when he was a sailor. He shoots an albatross, and a bunch of stuff happens. But thematically, what Coleridge was exploring were the ideas of regret, of rash decision-making, like consequences of our actions. Right. So what we're doing is that. We're taking the Mariner character in a more contemporary setting. He's talking with people across history, and we're exploring how they've dealt with regret, consequences, not feeling consequences, especially in sort of today's political, social landscape.
Consequence-free world.
Well, it's weird because Michael and I talk about this all the time. Like, there are people in power who clearly seem to not feel any consequences.
Let me think about who you mean.
It
could be anybody, really.
Let me know if you think of somebody, because I don't...
Yeah, I'm trying to think about politics. American politics.
No. I don't know. What's going on? Is there anything in American politics?
Yeah, pretty chill.
Yeah, cool.
Super chill. What about British politics? Everything going okay there?
Yeah, yeah. Seems pretty cool. Canada's crushing it.
So, yeah, just exploring those themes, and artistically, it's super fun for me because I have excuses to explore different styles and different mediums and stuff like that.
What do you do with all the, so these are oversized in your apartment or place. Where are they just there?
Just in piles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Honestly, yeah, just in piles.
What are you going to do with them?
We're actually launching a Kickstarter to finish the book and to to get it published and stuff. So some of them are going to be part of the Kickstarter.
Oh,
some of them are going to sell. Some of them are going to keep. Right. I mean, there's a ton of art. Like, the more art you make, the less precious you are about it. So I'm just like,
I'm glad you're kind of doing this, because that's why I don't go to weddings anymore, because I have a fear of old people talking to
you.
I'm glad that you're...
It's happened a lot to you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you know about the Rhyme of Pete LePage.
I do. Long time listener to the show, I know,
just to get back to the book for one second, Pete.
No, I want to get more into Pete's fear of old people. What age? Because Alex is getting older.
Yeah.
Are you afraid of me yet?
Yeah. And I hate to tell you, you're getting older too. Will you fear yourself?
Yeah, that's going to be the worst. This one.
Yeah, you should go to Pete's place. There's just holes in all the mirrors because he's what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I'm terrified of myself. Yeah.
When I was looking through the pages for Mariner in particular, you play around a lot with the narration boxes and the dialogue and everything. Do you, when you're approaching the art, how much are you thinking about that? How much are you thinking about the layout for those as well?
Very little. Okay. More, like, I'm getting better about it. That's a thing that I need to be better about keeping in mind. But actually, the lettering and the dialogue is all hand done by Michael, the writer.
Oh, okay.
So we work together on that and break down the pages so that I do leave him the right amount of room, and so that the page flows the way that we want it to.
But I'm glad, though, that you're more focused. I mean, the art to me is more important than the dialogue. So I'm
Pete hates words as much as he hates old people.
That's right.
So that's a horrible, tough fear going forward. Hey, words are everywhere.
Hey, you live your life, I'll live mine. You know what I mean?
I'm happy that that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Mariner, so you said it's going to be a Kickstarter. When is that launching?
Yeah, so the Kickstarter launches actually tomorrow or October 30th.
That's a weird coincidence.
So isn't it crazy?
Oh, wow. Very nice.
Weird. So yeah, we've been building to it for a little while. It launches tomorrow, or it launches October 30th.
Right,
yeah.
Whenever you're listening probably live.
Probably.
Other than the art, what are some other bonuses? What are things that people can look for in the Kickstarter?
So we've got the actual book itself. We're going to have original art, commissions. We're doing a variant cover that's going to be exclusive to the Kickstarter. remarked editions that come with me drawing inside of them.
Ooh, cool.
Signed, numbered prints, stuff like that.
Awesome. Cool. So and cool. If people want to check ooh. It out, is it called Mariner?
Yeah, just look marinercomic.com.
Okay.
And that'll take you to the Kickstarter, and we're on Facebook and all that stuff, too.
You were going to plug something else, though.
Was I?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's oh, no, I did. I just remembered one of the cool rewards is we're calling it the message in a bottle. So you get the book, and then you get Michael writes a little poem, and I do a little drawing, and then we put it in a little glass bottle.
Okay.
And I'll throw it into the ocean.
So well, yeah, it's your luck. Job to throw it into
I
the ocean.
You somehow. And then, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully you get it.
Yeah. That's great.
Great reward.
Yeah. I'm into that.
Yeah. It's great because we might not actually even do them.
Yeah.
We'll just tell you.
Oh, that's good. Work.
You know what? I'm going to wait by the beach just in case.
Just smart. Hang out.
Smart.
You do well in American politics with that attitude.
Well, I don't get it. I don't know what.
Yeah. Yeah. No. We're going to get it. We're going to Google.
Cool. So that launches tomorrow. Fever Dreams, though, is available.
Fever Dreams is out now. Yeah. You can order through my website, which is jonathanmarksart.com. It's if you're in L.A., it's at House of Secrets and Secret Headquarters. If you're in New York, it's at Desert Island Comics in Williamsburg. And then at Anyone
Comics.
It's in Brooklyn as well. Yeah.
Very cool.
They got it on the shelves. Yeah.
Awesome. Very cool. So check all of that out. We're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, hey, we do.
Love calling it that. And in the stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books that come out this week. First one, we're going to talk about Amazing Spider-Man number 32 from Marvel Comics. Very excited audience member here.
Over there, Spidey guy.
His Spidey sense is tingling.
Yeah.
What did you think about this book, guys?
My Spidey sense is tingling with this issue because a lot of my favorite things are
here. Oh, yeah. This is your pick for sure.
Patrick Gleason just left DC, and now he's on this book, which great artist. Really like him. Mm-hmm. This issue focuses on Spider-Man 2099, a character that I really like, that has been sort of like, what's he doing there? In a lot of Marvel comics.
Yeah, well, he falls down out of the
which is my
future.
Favorite part, is when he falls to his death at the end of the issue. I'm very excited
I don't think
about
he's dead very much alive.
Yeah, he wakes up at the beginning of the issue, falls down at the end of the issue. We don't know what's going on with him, but it's kicking off a big 2099 event. And one of my favorite things about this, we're not quite there yet, but I do love future times that are far less future than
pretty close now.
Yeah, pretty close. We're not quite there, but
We won't make it to there.
I'll
but it's
it
cool.
There.
You will. Yeah, you're the least likely to make it.
That's true. That's fair.
Yeah, well, you're the oldest. I'm the even though I sound like I'm on death's door right now. Yep. I'm the youngest, most virile member.
Listen,
of this
man,
group.
I turned 85, but I still feel 65.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in the middle, there's a bunch of stuff going on with Spider-Man as he fights his way through the city, and then probably your second favorite thing in the issue shows up.
Silver Sable, one of my favorite Spider-Man characters that pops up randomly. And that's about it, but I'm into it.
Yeah. How'd you feel about this one, Pete?
Well, Nick Spencer's writing it, and I don't trust his writing at all because he will lead you down a path and then break your fucking heart. So hopefully he doesn't do that on this book.
Now, Pete, haven't most authors done that to you? First off, with their use of the hated words.
sure.
But also, an author is eventually going to antagonize you.
Yeah, you know. It's
by making choices. By doing their very job of telling stories, they're aggravating you.
Yeah.
Because it eventually gets away from the status quo, which is what you love.
I do love
every
that.
Character just like stay, chilling out.
Just being themselves. You know, don't change too much. You know what I mean?
Don't go change.
Stay in your pocket.
Stay in your pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to live forever. High school rules. I got you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Old people suck.
Yep.
It's hey, exactly. Well, never I'm get sitting old. Right here.
Oh, sorry, yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Old grandpappy's
all right.
Listening
I have a butterscotch for both of you if you're
oh,
good at this show.
Yeah!
That's great.
Yeah, this book is great. I'm really enjoying it a lot. There's a lot of stuff going on here, and 2099 stuff is not my favorite thing.
Why are you down on it?
I don't know.
Are
I
you
just
gonna pick up
never
all the
got
books?
Into it.
Oh, it was super weird. X-Men 2099 was very, the characters were odd. Everything was a little weird.
X-Men 2099 kind of bummed me out.
Yeah.
I loved Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah.
And I remember getting Ravage 2099.
Yeah.
Which wasn't good, but I remember getting
Ravage.
That was the one where it was like, what is this?
What the fuck
he
is
likes
going,
garbage.
Who is this?
Yeah, he just has garbage around.
Yeah.
Who doesn't
really?
Like garbage?
He just eats garbage or whatever?
He's like, no. But he's part.
Sounds like Pete.
Yeah.
He's got some animal, something going on.
Yeah.
Or he's like, it doesn't matter.
No. Doom 2099 was also sort of...
I do remember that one. Wasn't that like he takes over the world or he's good?
Isn't that actual...
One of the two.
Isn't that Victor from the regular 616?
Yeah, he was just
still
alive,
there.
Yeah. He was the only one who made it through, and then Punisher 2099.
Oh, well, everybody remembers that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like it, and I'm excited to see more.
Yeah, it's cool. Next one, we're going to talk about Detective Comics 1014 from yes. DC Comics. Big changes in this issue. This is Peter Tomasi, the other half of that team
yeah.
on this comic.
He's got Doug Monkey. Who's,
yes.
Taken over to the art.
Now,
there.
As part of the Year of the Villain event, this is a big spoiler, but it kicks off the issue. Nora Freeze is back and alive and hanging out with Mr.
That's
Freeze.
Mr. Yeah. Freeze is ironically named Mr. Freeze.
Right.
His girlfriend is named Nora Freeze.
Right.
And she's been frozen
yeah.
for a long time.
Yeah. Right.
She's now out and about.
Yeah. She's unfrozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're working together, so she's not. Antifreeze.
Oh,
cool!
Wow, I mean, that's an old man joke. Just
saying,
right there.
I'm just saying, your butterscotches are on the line.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy that to hear a not a dad joke, but a granddad. Yeah.
There's a difference. There is a difference.
No, I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The difference is the booing. I believe technically that's
that is the line. That's the delineation.
Yeah.
What do you think about this move? How do you feel about the comic book?
Well, it's very interesting because what's cool is we have Batman who's like being like, hey, this is fucked up that he's brought you back to life and he's sacrificed a lot of actual people to do this. And, you know, she's like, fuck it, I'm here. And I was really surprised because I thought, like, if I was dead and then brought back and then I found out, like, all the fucked up things my significant other was doing to, like, pursue me being alive again, I don't know how... I was just surprised that she was kind of cool with it. Yeah, I would be super mad. And
like if you died and we kept you frozen.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're your significant others, by the way.
Right.
Because think of that term.
And when you say frozen, you mean stuffed in the freezer, right?
Yeah.
Just balled up and stuffed in the freezer.
Oh, man.
Next to some peas. Pizza rolls.
Yeah. Yeah. I got some.
Totitos. Hey, yeah. You want Totitos or a piece of Pete?
I can't fit this batch of pizza rolls in the freezer. Should we take Pete out? Or
snap off his hand.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gross. But, yeah, it's interesting. And it's one of those things that it's never been done in comics, so it's very kind of exciting to see her alive and kind of interacting with people.
This reminded me so much of Batman, the animated series, where
yes.
a lot of this stuff came from, I feel like. And there's been so many stories where he's like, I have to save my girlfriend. She's mm-hmm. frozen. And it's, I think, to make a move where she gets out and yeah. is like a bad guy now.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. How do you feel about yeah. this? Are you a fan of Mr. Freeze, fan of Batman?
From the animated series is
yeah.
what I know Mr. Freeze and Nora from.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I read Batman comics growing up, but not a ton, but it was the animated series. I had seen something that she was coming back. I just flipped it open. It's beautifully drawn, but
yeah.
There's a weird, I don't think this is spoilery. Nora says something about, you know, everything I've been through, it's been so crazy. And Mr. Freeze makes it about him. He's like, wait, but I've been through.
Yeah.
She was dead.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
it's
easy
up.
Goes, man. Like,
easy.
Right. I will say every time I wake up in the morning, I'm like, whew, I went through a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Past 8 hours or
I don't
so.
Know, I don't know, man. I don't know.
You don't know about cool. Mr. Freeze.
I don't know about Mr. Freeze. He seems like he might be a bad guy.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
A bold statement.
Hot
I
take.
Don't know. Yeah, thank you. Comics are fun.
issue is very good. The art is by Doug Mathey, which is reliably good.
I guess the main Mr. Freeze, though, is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You're right.
Right.
I think no one would argue
that's
with that.
That's who we all yeah. identify
yeah.
with.
Yeah, I mean, his catchphrase is ice to see you, which yeah. no one has ever thought was stupid or...
Why did you guys boo that one?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Don't let him call for a boo.
Yeah, why don't you him. Boo my grandson?
Because you know what? Calling for a boo is sort of a mistake.
Yeah, it is.
I do have a question.
And you know what happens when mistakes...
Wait.
Yes. Sorry, I have a question. With all the Batman stuff, is this in continuity with the Bane, City of Bane and all that? I have not been reading a lot of books.
I mean,
it's not
separate.
There's all kinds of craziness going on.
It's technically in the same world, but it happens either before or after that.
Okay, great.
Comics are fun.
Comics are fun.
There you go. Yeah.
Here's your birthday gift right here.
All right, buddy. This is the last one.
Old granddad wants to talk about pornography.
Money Shot number one from Vault Comics. This is, I thought, your present because it's by Tim Seeley, Pete.
Yeah.
Who you love.
I love Tim Seeley.
Yeah.
Very
creative,
funny writer.
You were upset about this because
this
has sex in it?
Pete is uncomfortable with sex.
Oh, yep. Okay. There we go.
And I'm excited because I'm clearly going through puberty right now. So. I can't wait to figure out what it's all about.
Yeah, it's great. Well, when a man and a little woman love each other very much.
I don't want to hear this from my granddad.
This first page is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very sexually suggestive.
It is very suggestive.
So this is co-written by Tim Seeley and Sarah Beattie, who's a comic. She has a pretty popular Twitter feed. It is like very in-your-face sexual. It's about a group of scientists who are trying to raise money for their experiment by doing intergalactic porn. I think that's the idea.
It's set in a future where there's no funding for science. It's actually great. Like, despite it being so overtly sexual, the story is really interesting. I really like this issue.
I thought it was great and also very funny. Like,
very clearly, funny and smart. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Sarah Beattie is very funny on her own. Tim Seeley is a very funny comic writer. Together, they figure out how to structure the jokes in there so that they work into the plot and don't subtract from it. I was very impressed by this book.
But to give you the sort of the pitch, the only way they can fund their experiments is to make pornography where they fuck aliens in space. And smart
as
idea,
you
as you do.
Yeah,
we've all been there.
And it almost immediately goes wrong. Of course, things get worse, but in a
are they getting rated?
Way.
They get they get rated on how the audience likes the
Yeah, I think porn? they're like, broadcasting it to the internet to try to raise money. So they get a spoiler. They get a 6.5 the first time through.
Spoiler: the internet has pornography on it, and there's a lot of people who comment for some reason on it.
Right.
And some of them are in this book.
Yeah, honestly, I only check out pornography for the comments.
Yeah, you're okay. That's a very granddad answer. A, B, very over the play for Alex.
There you go. This book is great. I definitely recommend picking it up. Also, the art is very good as well. It's Rebecca Isaacs does the art, who's fantastic. So if you're not squeamish about sex like Pete.
Pete, so wait, you didn't like this or what?
Well, no, I thought it was very creative, a very interesting take. Unfortunately, the comment that like scientists need to raise money so they can do sciencey things, as they kind of talk about in there, it's just a little bit of a weird twist that it's like, all right, I'm going to fuck this fish man now.
This is how they built CERN.
Yeah. Little known fact.
Yes.
Most scientists are operating a porn site.
Oh, yes. Wow.
It's true.
That's a sad state of affairs.
You think Bill Nye, the science guy, isn't fucking?
I'm sure he's fucking, but I don't think he needs to fuck for science, right?
He does. How do you think he does the Netflix series? There's Bill Nye, the science guy, and Bill Nye, the fucking guy.
Oh, man.
Definitely check out both of those. they actually cross over a lot.
They do. There's a lot of continuity between them. But again, I only read the comments. That's it for the stack.
Yeah.
We are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, I'm going to come out to all of you. You need to ask a question either for our amazing guest or for all of us. And Pete over there is going to give you some free comics. Yep. I saw this hand shoot up first. What is your name? What is your question?
My name is Kevin. And going back to Mariner and how it ties into the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner and the long history of classical allusions in media.
Allusions. You mean like David Copperfield?
Yes.
I think it's spelled with an A, this one.
Yes, but actually David Copperfield still works.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that was fucking a literary burn.
Gotcha. I just double Copperfielded you.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What I was going to say is, what are some of your favorite examples of that within the comic medium?
Ooh.
Favorite?
This is good.
Thank you.
I feel like
I think we all have an answer right off the top of our heads.
Yeah. We've been getting a lot of very literary questions in the last couple of weeks, and we've blown them big time. So let's see what we can do
with
this one.
Explain me what the question is.
My favorite thing was when Jamie Foxx does Itsy Bitsy Spider in Amazing Spider-Man 2. Good hey, literary allusion.
Very good stuff.
Yes.
I have one answer. In Starman, one of my favorite series, they bring in the picture of Dorian Gray, and that becomes a major part of a story arc that the Shade factors into, and it affected the whole series.
I mean, on a similar note, I feel like I'm giving your second answer. Are you going to say Sandman?
Just say Sandman?
Wait, what were you going to say? You were pointing at me like you do.
Yeah, I thought you were going to talk about Sabrina TV show where they had the Dorian Gray picture in there.
Nope.
I was going to say in Sandman, the Midsummer Night's Dream issue is also excellent.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Did you have one, Jonathan?
The Sandman is what jumped into my head. There's a French comic.
More.
There's a French comic that's a retelling French of the Peter Pan mythology, and it's, if I remember right, it's all sort of the fever dreams. Plug comic book is called Fever Dreams. It's all sort of the fever dream of a homeless French child who's having this fantasy as he dies of Wendy and Neverland and this escape.
Oh shit.
And again, I can't remember. Like, if you use the Google, something will come
use
up.
Use the Google.
That sounds awesome.
But that's also like a really interesting take that takes advantage, too, of the comic book medium because of the, you know, the freedom that we have with the illustrations and all these crazy images that they pull out.
Yeah. I mean, Fables did a great job of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is an obvious one, but yeah.
Yeah. And there's the famous one where the Punisher was like, quoth the Raven.
Nevermore. And they just capped it, dude. It was great.
He said, quoth the Raven, picnic no more.
That was cool, and then you fucking made it mean.
A Punisher Edgar Allan Poe would work, though.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool.
That's actually, I want to see a whole Punisher. It's just an Edgar Allan Poe.
But with the Punisher.
Well, the images are all Punisher. Yeah. The words are all Poe.
I would like to see Edgar Allan Poe versus the Punisher. Like, the Punisher decides to hunt down Edgar Allan Poe.
Frankencastle. Frankenstein is
I can't believe it.
He
perfect.
That's
fucked up, man.
He said it, not us.
That's sacrilegious, bro.
No.
That's fucking bullshit.
That's from him, not us. He said it. So
I know. I'm aware of that.
That means it's cool. Yeah, that means it's fine.
It was heartbreaking. It was a fucking heartbreaking thing that happened.
No, it was great. Yeah. What if Frankencastle and Edgar Allan Poe are both trying to date Virginia? Edgar Allan Poe's cousin who he was in love with,
right?
And they compete over her.
Stop trying to
yeah, that'd be fun.
That'd be fun.
I hate how you're looking at me right now.
What do you mean? Like, with like, this is a great idea.
Yeah, like, hey,
we can change
isn't that so
game.
Cool how I'm playing with your emotions in a way that torments you?
Because you're a big Edgar Allan Poe.
So to answer your question, Frankencastle, let's get the next question. Oh, you, sir, over here, come on down. What is your name? What is your question?
I'm the Raven.
Ooh.
Pablo,
haunting.
Nice one.
Haunting.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Since 2099 is about 80 years down the path, and a lot of us here in this room will not see the light of day.
Wow.
As far as that.
Dark take.
Yeah. Wait, who specifically do you think will make it?
There's a one-year-old in the crowd.
She's going to outlive all you motherfuckers.
I'm going to be 81. I love that shit.
So, what do you see the future would be in 80 years down the road?
Ooh, nice. Okay, in our real world? Yeah, wow.
Probably a lot of worms eating my face, man, to your point.
So, a prediction of the future.
I think it's...
you came to the right place.
Yeah.
I think everybody's going to be just kind of like... blobby people that just live through
like Wally.
Their...
like
yeah,
Wally?
It's going to be straight up Wally, but we...
In 80 years?
Yeah, it's going to be like Wally, but we're living through our avatars that are these like robotic...
Yeah. By the way, just for a little bit of context, I don't know if you know the movie AI, Artificial Intelligence. Pete worked as a futurist on that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he knows what's going on.
He's got some strong predictions. World changing aggressively. It can happen fast.
Yeah, it does.
I think the iPhone 22 is going to be pretty sick. That's about.
Just better iPhones.
Better iPhones. Slightly better.
But basically just the same.
You actually put the phone in your eye.
Yeah. I do think that that's what it's going to be.
Yeah,
in the, like we're going to be
definitely
something hooked up. Yeah.
Like future. I didn't see it, so I hesitate to talk about it. But years and years on HBO, there was some sort of like
horrifying,
phone in your hand type thing. Mm-hmm. I could see that happening potentially.
Would you do a hand phone?
Would I do a hand phone?
Yeah.
The thing that's weird about it to me is I never take phone calls, so why would I? You know, I do like
never.
I mean, nobody ever calls me.
I'm gonna call you every day.
When's the last time we talked on the phone? We text each
very
other
very rarely.
Time,
do we talk on the phone?
I'm not like, hey, do you guys want to talk about this podcast we're doing? You'd be like, what the fuck are you doing, you creep?
Yeah. I'm just saying, there's other people that maybe, because I know the only time I use my phone is when I'm talking to my parents.
Right. Yeah. I don't need a hand phone to talk to my parents.
What if you have a good text on your hand?
No, then I'm into it.
Right. Yeah. You ready to get...
But I don't understand how it works because it's in your hand, so you have to like press your hand.
Just use your other hand?
Yes.
I didn't see the TV show.
Okay.
This is the very smallest part of that TV show. There's so many other things that happen.
I have so many questions about it. I have to imagine at least 2 hours were spent on how the handphone works.
Yeah. You're going to really enjoy the show. I mean... Politically, the world is in a crazy spot now, and it's sort of a fork in the road of whether it's going to go more into this sort of authoritarian thing or more into democracy, and we don't know which way it's going to go, I think, in this very moment. Ooh. And how about
welcome to our comic book talk show.
And how about that said in a fucked up gravel voice that merely makes you think.
Yeah. Do you have any predictions?
No. I mean, genuinely, like, I think smarter technology. I don't know. I was talking to someone about this the other day where, like, nothing dates more poorly than predictions of the future. So fucking who knows, man? I think that, I genuinely think we'll have some sort of something or smart something that's physically a part of us.
The weird thing about 80 years also is that technology, I'm forgetting the exact term for it, but technology has started to reach a peak in terms of development, that unless we have something that gives us a significant leap forward, things aren't going to change that much over the course of the next couple of decades.
Holograms?
Except for holograms of Will I Am, wherever you want.
Alien technology, though, that's when it's really going to take
off. I'd say aliens visiting us would be a significant leap
in
technology. But other than that, we'll be fine.
So Ravage 2099.
Nice. Thank
it's all
you.
Coming.
Full circle. I like that.
You, sir, come on up. What is your name? What is your question?
Hi, my name is Kier, and this question is for Jonathan. So you were mentioning your art style for your latest book, and you were just mentioning like a whole bunch of different art techniques. Which would you say would be your favorite, or what's one that you would like to attempt or explore more in the comic medium? And if you have an inspiration artist in mind that's led you to that.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll start with the last question because that's easy. Artistic inspirations for me, like I was saying, within comic books and illustration, just art in general, are figurative painters, guys like Kent Williams and George Pratt, Dave McKean, Bill Sienkiewicz, you know, old Renaissance fine artists, you know, Klimt and Schiele, guys like that. As far as the comic book stuff, what I'm doing with Mariner and what I did with Fever Dreams is sort of the direction that I want to keep going with larger scale watercolor and oil. I want to focus more on more emotional pieces instead of more strictly illustrative. I think that, especially with Mariner, the thing that Michael and I keep talking about is, particularly with comic books, you know, sometimes you read the narration box and then the illustration is just a repetition of what you just read, which is fine, but I want to move further away from that. I think that actually Mike Mignola does that really well with Hellboy, where you'll read a thing and then the panel itself will be like a frog, which narratively would make sense to the story, but it adds to that rather than just repeating. So I think, I don't know if that answers your question or not.
A great answer.
Yeah.
Cool. Great question. Pete, I think we can take one more, right?
Yes, that is
one
correct.
More question. Ooh, right up here. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi there. My name is Mike. And Mike. First off, I actually want to point out that I am an actual scientist, by the way.
Oh, yes. All right, Mike.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where? What's your red tube?
What do you
where
do?
Where can we log in? Yeah.
Well, I can assure you from that story, our work isn't that quite extreme.
Okay.
We wanted to be, but not quite.
Great.
And I am quite familiar with Tim Seeley's work. One of my friends actually does work with him at times.
Oh, awesome.
Actually. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
My question goes back to, you know, the Spider-Man before. I have read that issue. Quite a great one, actually. I know you guys were a little bit, like, divided by, you know, between, like, you know, Peter and Miguel. And I say, but one thing I'm curious to you guys, you know, about, because, you know, when those two have crossed over, you know, their stories are quite great in a lot of ways.
Cause yeah.
Not only from different timelines, but, you know, they're so different in their own ways. You know, Peter tries to see the bright side of everything despite all the dark side he's been through. But Miguel, you know, he's had so much difficulties. I mean, the guy's freaking claws on his costume.
Yeah, so, it's more a body transformation for him.
Yeah. So how do you guys feel, like, you know, when these two come together, like, with their, not just their times, but their whole, like, different universes, like, coming together and everything, and their different perspectives of the world and everything?
Good question. I feel like they're very different as characters, like you're saying, and I think one of the mistakes with Spidey 2099, they've brought him back, and they're like, you hang out with Spider-Man because you're also a Spider-Man. But I think they're very different, and I think that's where the mistake with these two characters. I think they're too different. They're not meant to be the same. Like Miguel O'Hara from 2099, it's a dystopian future, and life sucks. And so he's not this, like, a quippy bright sider who's like making small mistakes but always doing the right thing. He has to deal with like all this. There's like drug addiction in that book in the original series. There's all this corporate horrible shit happening. Like it's just tonally so different. So I think I like that we're seeing Spidey 2099 in this book, but I want to get back to that story in the future.
Yeah, I do like what you're talking about is when they do clash, it's usually a big event and a kind of like a cool thing in comics because they are so opposite of each other, even though they're both Spider-Man. But it is. It's kind of, for me, it's harder because it is this darker dude who's been through so much more.
I feel like you would like that.
Right. But the thing is, I like my Spider-Man positive and sweet and trying to find the positive and giving me hope in a fucked up world. So, like, seeing the kind of opposite of that for me is just a little bit sadder. So it's harder for me to kind of, like, get into it as much. But it's very cool that you kind of bring that up.
Yeah.
Cool. Did you?
I agree with both of you guys. I think that I'm not reading the current Spider-Man crossover stuff, but the reason that 2099 I liked so much was that he was Spider-Man kind of in name only. It was a different character. The melancholy kind of angle I liked, Pete. I thought I agree with you. So I don't know about them teaming up. I haven't read it, but Miguel on his own was an interesting character. I think maybe he should stay solo. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, great question. And that's it for your audience questions.
Oh, wait. We're gonna give out a copy of Fever Dreams. What was your favorite question today?
Let's do the first question that asked about the literary illusion.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, folks. It's time for our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Pete LePage.
Don't do it. Just one time. Just one time. Give it to me. Just don't do it one time.
My friend. My good friend, Pete LePage.
Now I'm the asshole.
The star of my life. The star of my life.
Great. This is the part we give back to you. It's the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Simple raising of the hand.
Yeah.
See, you guys have won before. New guy has
that
one.
Here. That's nice.
So, all right. Casually, come on up. Hand up, guy. Come on here down.
That's great. Pete, and one thing we established earlier, if he gets all three of these right, you have to take your belt off.
Yeah, nope. Did not establish that.
We did. We established
Nobody wants that, but I appreciate where you're at.
No, that's the rule that we talked about. There's no.
Yeah. You,
come on.
Yeah.
He took his off.
Some guy yelled from the audience, I took mine off.
Yeah.
Not
lose the belt.
Yeah, no thanks. Cool. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, $25 yours.
Belt off.
Sounds good.
Trivia. Today's trivia is on topical comic news. Okay. Question number one. I am late to find this out, but there is a new Ninja Turtle, a fifth Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Oh. What is her name? Is it A, Jenica, B, Rosa P, or is it C, Kelly Preston? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could pick something else.
Wow.
I'd say A.
A is correct. Jenica, wow. The new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
What classical painter is she?
Well, that's the thing. It's like a whole backstory. I thought, like, why isn't it a classical painter? But then it was like a real woman who was then, to save her life, they made her a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Curious how that works. I'm sorry.
It's comics, bro.
Sorry, you're dying. The only solution that me and the doctors have come up with is you need to be a turtle.
Yep.
How old are you? 19? Yeah, you're going to be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
That would be a dream come true for me.
You're going to be a much older Ninja Turtle.
That's true. It would be sad. Okay, question number two.
We're one set question closer to the belt coming up.
This is getting weird. It's not going to happen.
It's a rule we established earlier.
It's not. Just saying something out loud doesn't mean we established.
That's literally how we run this show.
That was a rule.
Nope. Okay, here we
Come
go.
On, Granddad said it.
Yeah.
We established it earlier.
Yeah, cool.
See?
All right, question number two. Who is doing the interiors for Dawn of X Wolverine number one out February 2020? Is it A, Greg Pak, B, Adam Kubert, or C, Bernie Mac? R.I.P.
Wow.
Yep. So it's either A, Greg Pak, which doesn't make sense, or Adam Kubert.
Bernie Mac definitely doesn't make sense doing the art.
That's true.
Adam Kubert.
Yeah, that is correct.
Great choice.
Last one. Paramount is developing Planet of the Nerds, a film based off, is it A, an Ahoy Comics title,
yeah,
B,
boy.
An Image Comics title, or C, Seth Green? So it's either A or it's B.
A, I think.
A is correct.
Nice.
Ahoy Comics.
Thank you.
$25 free, sir. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
All right. Now, as we all know, Pete has to take off the belt. Take off the belt. Take off the belt. Take off the belt. Come on.
Take off my belt.
Wow.
My pants will fall down and no one will like that.
It's crazy that that's true. Yeah.
Like some sort of cartoon. Now, as you may not know, there's a secret quiz hiding in Pete's quiz. He has his C answers all come together to tease a movie. I believe we're on to Robin Williams movies. So this movie has two comedians who unfortunately died before their time.
Yep.
Perfect for our comic book club. Yeah. Talk show.
I'm glad you recognize
that. Keeping it fun.
Yeah, it's great. This is real fun, Pete. Read the names again.
Kelly Preston.
Yep.
Bernie Mac.
Great.
Seth Green.
Okay. Anybody know what the movie is? Kevin gets first crack over here.
Was that Wild Hogs?
Oh, close. Old Dogs.
Old Dogs.
Wow.
Old
How
Dogs.
How fitting on Alex's birthday.
Yeah, unfortunately,
since... that we covered Old Dogs.
Old Dogs.
Unfortunately, since Kevin got it wrong, you have to take off the belt.
Take off the belt. That's a rule.
Take off
That's a rule
belt.
We established. If Kevin got it wrong, you have to take off the belt.
Establish that.
That's a rule that happens all the time now.
Cool. Yeah.
If he gets it wrong, you have to take off the belt.
Awesome.
Yeah. And Kevin has to take off his tie.
Is that just your... Is that just your legs? Is that why you don't want to take off the belt?
Yep.
You just got like baggy legs?
Oh, it's like that old story with the girl with the yellow ribbon.
Oh, yeah.
Who takes it off her
takes off
head.
His belt and his baggy legs fall
his
off.
Baggy legs fall off. His baggy legs.
Yeah, I heard him.
I know.
Thanks for repeating it.
It's like that. It's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. That story, bag o' legs.
Ooh, bag o' legs.
Ooh. You've scary. Happy
a real
Halloween.
Echo machine thing happening.
I'm amplifying.
Does this mean that Pete's just sitting up here without pants on at all?
Is it no
just
pants.
His legs?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Just a belt. Just a belt
I'm
and a
all
smile.
Pants.
He's like,
I'm nothing but pants.
This guy's
even my shirt are pants.
That's right.
He's like Mystique in the X-Men movies.
Yep.
Never wear clothes. Just all pants. All the way down.
When we first met Pete, he didn't even know about belts or pants. And we introduced him to belts, and he was like, I can finally wear pants.
And then I became all about pants after that.
Yeah, now he's all pants. Yeah. This shirt looks like a shirt. It's also pants.
Whoa. Right. Yeah. No, I can see
that's why
now.
He's kind of holding it like
this. He's got a belt in here. He's got a belt
Those buttons you see up there, that's not a polo shirt. It's actually a fly.
Yeah. This is the fly right
here. Button fly.
Button fly. Unbutton that fly.
He's got a Levi's button fly.
He's got a belt around his wrist. That's what you call a watch.
Yeah. I like your eye belt, by the way.
Thanks. Can we move the fuck on, please?
What about, your belt, your shoe belts. Your shoe belts are untied, Pete. You need to tie your shoe belts.
Yeah.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics.
It's amazing we can find new things that get under Pete's skin so badly. It's crazy that there are new frontiers of things about Pete that we don't know that drive him crazy. Yeah. And one of them is saying, take off your belt.
It's what keeps the marriage fresh.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And we're your significant others, and we want that belt off.
Take it off. That's the worst part about this.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Death's Head number 4 and Deceased number 6 of 6.
Any particular reason, Pete?
The Deceased series has been really fucked up, but also really creative. The art's pretty fantastic on it. I'm excited to see how it ends.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Belt Smashers number 7, Take It Off number 4, and Pants for Days.
Pants for Days. I love it.
Pants for Days number 1,000.
Yeah.
So many great issues.
Oh, my God.
I'm actually looking forward to Runaways number 26. Great comic. The Runaways comic from back in the day a little bit. This new run has been so good. Really brought it back to the core characters. Been really enjoying it.
I'm really looking forward to The Last God, number 1 from DC Black Label. This is a book by Philip Kennedy Johnson, who we had on the show a couple of months back.
Maybe even 6.
And this is a new fantasy title that he is telling. It's unclear whether it takes place in the DC universe or not, but it looks fantastic. We're going to have a review of it in our Stack podcast that rolls out in its own podcast feed, as well as the Comic Book Club feed every Wednesday at 9 a.m., as well as a bunch of other reviews.
That's weird that you would pick a book that then we're talking about later.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge coincidence.
Promote.
It is. Yeah, it's crazy.
It makes me also want to plug Basket Full of Heads.
Yes.
Joe Hill's a new book that comes out tomorrow. Also, that was very good.
Yes. So we're going to have a review of that as well in the Stack podcast. Jonathan, plug your stuff. What should people be checking out?
Yeah. So starting October 30th, the Mariner Kickstarter will be live. So pre-orders and pledges, marinercomic.com. And that's tomorrow if you're listening.
It's
a Wednesday, so that's my comic book new comic book day pick as well.
All right,
great choice.
Shameless.
Very cool. A couple of other things to plug before we go. We have a couple of other podcasts we do, including a Watchmen podcast called Watchmen Watch. Mm-hmm. That comes out twice a week, once after the episodes, and then we have a bonus episodes in the Watchmen Watch feeds on Thursdays where we talk about promos and previews and theories and answer your questions and things like that. We also have Riverdale After Dark. Our Riverdale podcast rolls every week after the episodes talking about that show. Yep. Plenty more podcasts to come, so check all of them out at comicbookclublive.com. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
You can support the show at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Subscribe and comment on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Jonathan for being on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Boothman Prime!
Yeah.
But most of all, we want to thank you all. We are here every single Tuesday night, totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks for coming out, guys. Really appreciate it.
on crappy couches and they let the secrets leak. And occasionally they